Hello and welcome to Natty's Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew D. Apparently, I forgot what we were called for a second there. And I am here with Adam Brewer. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Now no one will know about your expertise with Soontir.
Yeah. Soontir suicide.
The Soontir suicide. He didn't die. Not then, at least. Later.
He died when he flew over that rock. I thought that's what you're talking about.
Oh, I no, I'm talking
Soontir.
About the...
You don't kill
Soontir. I kill me, you don't kill me. No, I was talking about the boost that didn't quite make it, but... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We played in real life. We played a whole bunch of... There was a bunch of people who played in real life. And it turns out that standing, I was really good at it one day, and I need to practice standing more.
Standing is 2019. You got to get with 2021. It's a sitting game now. It's a sitting man's world.
It's a sitting man's world. Yeah, yeah. For now, I'm gonna have to have like those like military dudes who have the long sticks that just push the pieces around on their mats that they want for when it comes to wartime.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think I'm just gonna strap myself to a board. You know, mechanical support.
Yeah, like have like a
Hannibal Lecter style, you know, just like strapped upright.
Yep, no, that's good. We'll get you the mask and everything. That'll freak your opponent out for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So we have some big news, all the news from Atomic Mass Games, and we are going to go into some of it. Not all of it, because some people have touched on here and there, but we'll pick and choose our flavor as we go on through. So. They did release some new cards, some new ship stuff. Let's see if we can figure it out without actually having pictures in front of us. I know that they dropped the Razor Crest, or at least the Mandalorian pilot was expressed, and then the ship itself. I do not remember what the ship is called. I only know it as a Razor Crest, but I know they actually said the legit name.
Fair. I can't remember offhand myself.
You know, in Wikipedia probably has it, but it doesn't really matter right now. The fact is, that is coming. The child's coming. I remember the dial on the Razor Crest seems really crappy, but the ship looks kind of good.
It's not for stressing. Like, once you stress, you've got very limited maneuvers. But
literally straight.
I mean, like, it's a medium-based ship. Like, I don't think it's some huge detriment. I got a feeling that if you wanted to, you could build against it if you wanted to, but I think you could just avoid stress if you wanted to as well.
Mm-hmm. They also have a card pack coming. They have it's Fangs and TIE Fighters, essentially.
Yeah.
And that looks
very,
pretty
very
cool.
Very weird selection, right? Just one
very
TIE
weird.
Fighter
I mean,
and some Fangs.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's probably going to be more TIE Fighters, but the things that they released was like I-6 Fenrau for Rebels in a Fang Fighter, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Ship's good ability is like okay.
I heard somebody already talking about. Well, I think it was actually GSP. They were mentioning the combo with Jan Ors.
Sure.
How you can Jan Ors and then he can relieve the stress and you can Jan Ors again or something. But either way, it is a thing. It's really cool. I like the idea that they're doing card packs. I think that's the bigger takeaway, is that we're back at doing some card packs. And there's even more that have been spoken about on this. They spoke about how there's going to be like Battle of Yavin, Battle of Coruscant, and how these like significant points in Star Wars lore are going to be at least the theme for these packs coming.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember. That might have been tied to the standard builds as well. Feels like they might be, but I'm not positive that
I think you're absolutely correct that the TIEs and Fang Fighters are not necessarily strapped with the with that kind of concept, but the battles, the thematic battles, are where they actually have ship cards or pilots that are going to, you know, have certain loadouts already strapped to them that you can't, they're standardized, so you can't actually change their loadout, but because they, you know, because they exist in the first place like that, then you're stuck doing it that way. It's cheaper, or you could build it out on its own, a little more expensive, but c'est la vie.
Yeah, no, I just mean, like, I don't know if they're implicitly tied together. Like, you're supposed to use these standardized things in those format-driven events, or if it's going to be a free-for-all. Like, it does seem... I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but if we're doing Yavin, that's only Rebel and Empire at all. Maybe.
Yeah.
So. Maybe. And I don't think so, though. Like, that's stretching.
Yeah, and what would Coruscant even be? Coruscant would be Republic and...
Sis,
yeah?
Oh, yeah. They invade Coruscant and kidnap Palpatine. That's how the...
You're absolutely right. Good job on remembering. I totally was thinking about
my favorite IP Star Wars is the original Clone Wars.
Yeah, eh? I was thinking... I was so stuck on the idea when... Anakin came along and did a little culling of that pesky Jedi problem that Coruscant was facing.
That was much later. They invade Coruscant in order to kidnap Palpatine in order to execute Grievous and it's all part of the Emperor's plan, right? Drag Anakin up there to kill Grievous and Dooku.
Yeah. Yeah, all part of the plan. I'm actually reading The Queen's Peril right now, I think The Queen's Shadow, and there was even, like, Palpatine's in these novels where he's already started his planning phase. Palpatine's the ultimate planning phase character.
He's a real turn zero kind of guy.
Yeah, real turn zero. The ultimate turn zero.
Yeah.
So those things are really cool. I was kind of like wondering how they're even going to put him on the car. How they're even going to put it on the cards. Like, how are we going to be using these longer cards? They showed an Ada. I forget which one it was. Maybe Shaak Ti, maybe somebody else. But are those the cards we're going to be getting for standardized? They kind of really don't fit very well with the, like, putting them in binders and such. But I guess I could figure something out. But if it's a standardized card size, I'm curious as to how they'll fit everything on there, because that's, you know, that's tight. Maybe they just list the upgrades in that situation instead of expressing what they do.
Probably the tarot card style, you know, reduced down. I don't expect that these standardized builds would be too crazy either, right? Like, I don't see them having an extensive customized ship here. Sound like they're kind of like, you know, some real bread and butter kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it might be, instead of Vader, TIE, you know, I doubt that you get TIE X1 Vader with Hate, Afterburners, and FCS, for example. It's probably going to be, like, maybe you get TIE X1 Vader with Afterburners and Brilliant Evasion and a Collision Detector, right?
It's like a different thing. And it'll be like Vader with, like, Predictive Shot and Fire Control. And, like, that's it.
Yeah, something like that.
Y-Wings will be, like an ion turret and a bomb. Maybe a droid. Or, like, maybe, like, a missile. Or a bomb. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see them... I don't see a lot of kit here. I think that's the point, is to just reduce it down to, like, a simple... I think it's about simplifying the game.
Yeah, I new design space, simplifying the game, making it more friendly to newer players, we'll say.
If this scenario is supposed to be some sort of campaign where there's like a narrative and like it all feels a bit like that epic kind of scale. Like you can't have, I've played enough epic now to know you literally can't let people just do what they want. It gets so complicated so quickly. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about spending an hour resolving a turn because of all the abilities? Or you just roll some dice and kill some ships.
Yeah, exactly. What else we got going on? So there's a ton of stuff. So we, the bids, Adam, my precious bids, yeah. My deepest of bids. They're all gone.
The bidding is weird. Like there's multiple layers of stuff to talk about there. The bloat is gonna be real. Everyone's gonna have a card in their list. They're like, and I did this, so I don't give you 2 points.
I know. That's the part I hate. I like that chip doesn't even have a bomb. I know, but delayed fuses because you don't get this. This point's mine. Like, that's so bad.
Other weird stuff. Like, I tried building a list today, and I just threw electronic baffle on one ship just to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, this is novel. You know, like a bit of kit that you could use. I would never pay for it, but if I have to, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you think, obviously AMG's made the choice, and or they haven't. I mean, it's a bit ambiguous as to what exactly they're doing. We'll find out more as it comes around to the end of the month and everything's written up and it's legible and we can most likely comprehend exactly what they're trying to get at.
I don't think they've even finished actually deciding on the things they told us.
Here's a thought. When you hear the way they speak about certain things, does it sound to you like obviously they have passion, right? And they are game developers. But in regards to knowing the game from top to bottom, and I know FFG also had developers that were sitting in that same situation, but I think it's a little different. Do you think that they really seem to get and understand the game and or the community right now?
I don't know, but just offhand, my impression of those 4 people I saw there, one person knew the game, another person played the game, and the 2 other people understand the game exists and maybe have played it before. One of the 4 like gets it, and then who even knows how well he... I got the impression he gets the game well.
Mm-hmm. Like, here's an example. When they started to talk about the 12 rounds, which they did talk about it in the... corresponding to the core rules and how the core rules actually don't have a way to play beyond complete annihilation of each other's lists.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been playing X-Wing for a long time and you say something like 12 rounds and you don't openly discuss the 75 minutes that every single competitive event basically has been running forever and all, I guess they weren't really looking at their chat, but you can get a general feel of the chat when you said, when they said 12 rounds and the chat was like, oh, there's a spike. There was a tension. I felt it. Like thousands of X-Wing players were crying out for their 75 minutes and replacing it with 12 rounds.
I don't know to the full extent what they're talking about. I could parrot all the things I've already heard Gold Squadron say about just the logistics of even planning an event, round-based, not time-based. There's a million things that make me think that, that's just the thing to put there are literally two rule sets, right? There's tournament rules that describe what a tournament game that is separate from a regular game.
Mm-hmm. But so I mean,
I think this is like the turn thing is not a bad idea for them to put in the core set for like the, I mean, this is about growth. This is about, a game can't sell a bunch of stuff and then be okay. It needs to keep selling stuff.
Exactly, yeah. And I think the 12 round limit for core is perfect for that. It that's exactly good for beginners.
And and the narrative stuff and the 12 rounds and the standardized build and I mean, there's just a list of everything they went through. And it sounds to me like they'd like just someone who plays board games to be able to pick up this game and with another person who just plays board games and break it out and recreate the battle of Yavin.
Mm-hmm.
And level of, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. That should exist. You can have the tournament play too. The two things can exist side by side. It's totally fine. Probably better for the game in the long run. More people playing even casually means ultimately more people considering competitive. But as the game stands right now, if someone doesn't come to this game understanding the game and wanting to play it, I don't even know if I could teach someone how to get this game.
Yeah, right now I teach a lot of kids how to play the game still, and I do not even bring lists to the table right now. I basically say, here's an X-Wing, here's an X-Wing, here's an X-Wing. I'm going to bring one ship, and you guys as a team, you guys are just going to try to shoot me, right, and blow me up. Come on, let's go, guys. And, oh, work on a team, yeah. And then they're discussing, oh, we got to go left. We got, he's over there over by the clouds. So, yeah. Oh, no, he's over there. Oh, help me, turn back around. He's going to be on me. It is more dynamic like that for teaching. And I think it is pretty transferable to adults too, is that the best way to play this game as a teaching tool, like the best way to learn this game, is not right now, at least in its current context, it is not a standard game of X-Wing. It is not, here's a list and I'm going to take the list, and it's not even, here's two X-Wings and there's a TIE fighter, because to be very honest, that's kind of boring. Like, why not have right, you can have a little flavor. And I think the thematic stuff and the casual play, and I definitely know that as this stuff comes through the pipeline, that I know I'm going to be supporting it in our local area. Things like, bring a friend out, and I'm going to be talking to our local places around, and saying, hey, can we do something where it's like, we can do like some prizes up to grabs, and if you bring a friend out, then you get a ticket in to the prize, or you get an extra ticket, or something along the lines to encourage like new players as we play these, these very beginner friendly games. But I just want, it was the small note that I was just wondering, is that I kind of felt like it was obvious looking at the chat for a second that some of these things really hit spikes was really adverse to a lot of the fan base at times. And it could have been so easy to kind of express that they see it going on. Like, hey, I see you guys in the chat for sure. I hear that. And don't worry, this is to help promote for players getting into the game. We felt that the 12 rounds was a good amount to place in the core rule book, but the 75 minutes that is still sticking for our competitive play, verbatim, but I mean something to can we at least respond a little bit to the entire chat exploding? I don't know, maybe you don't.
Nah, I don't think you can. No, I think that's a business decision that you cannot, you just shut your mouth.
Can't you just turn chat off then? Why even have it? If you're not, responding to it, turn it off.
Yeah, totally fair, right? And that's probably just because, Twitch, for every other thing that they chat, they don't have an explosion of I don't even know what to call it. I don't want to be too derisive, but like, I gotta throw it out there. If you were freaking out in the chat, maybe it's a little premature because you don't even actually know what they're talking about. So I wouldn't be freaking out yet and making too. Do you know what I mean? Like, the sky is.
Like, the game is dead, and I want to sell all my X-Wing.
I mean, this is just, I don't know what else to say, but internet do what internet do.
Do you think there's one person, at least in the entire world, who tossed all their X-Wing out a window or something like that, threw it in the trash somewhere?
I bet you somewhere on this planet right now is someone saying some ridiculous thing about how they just did some. They just ruined the game.
Mm-hmm.
That could be correct, but you don't know.
Right
now, it's a guess. That's purely a guess. I saw things there that I mean, I'll be frank. I saw some. There's been a few things that have been a little disheartening, and then there's some things that have been very refreshing. This Hunted event looks like it was put together by someone at 4 in the morning. Hit save and sent it off without even, like, reading it, scanning it once. I mean, that document is so bad, you don't even have to read it. You can just glance at it and see that it's wrong. Just from a look. Because I looked at the Legion one. The Legion one didn't look like that.
No.
The Legion one, at a glance, because I don't play the game, I don't know, at a glance, everything was filled out, every team had a different thing, they all looked like they were customized, built for what they're supposed to do. I mean, there's a variety of errors in that Hunted document. We've seen misprints, we've seen expression of not understanding the game. I mean, there's a litany of things that aren't great. What do you do? They haven't done any. At the same time, I don't think they've done anything that's ruined the game in any way.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think
whatever it hasn't been great, but it hasn't been some colossal failure.
Exactly. I think at the very least they made a very brave move, and I think
the cojones.
The best
thing, and I know we haven't talked about it yet, but just the idea of just like, hey, everybody, you like Quick Play? Oh, no? Guess what? We're bringing back Quick Play. You're going to like it.
You don't think you like it, but you're going to.
It's just good. You know what I mean? Be like, oh, no? How about yes?
That is the biggest
insert it directly into the regular game.
You know what it's like you're trying to feed the child food and you just shove the spoon in their mouth, you know, like eat the food, Tina. X-Wing community, eat it. And cojones. Wow. Walked into the locker room and you're just the big one walking around, hanging out.
That's what kind of said. It's a very tricky thing. I think they understood very well that they were essentially doing a mic drop on the community, and that you're right, they could have turned off the chat because nothing productive was going to come of it. But I think in some ways, as like a business entity that has like an overlord looking down upon them, several layers of overlords looking down upon them, you literally just say nothing, don't even blink, and just continue on like everything's cool, and you know, just don't go on the record of officially saying anything as an employee of the company.
So be a government politician is what you're saying.
Yeah. So you're right. It is a very politic kind of move to just sit there stone faced.
Just don't answer the question.
Even acknowledge it, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, don't even acknowledge the question. Like, there were so many. Watching that chat was like watching somebody just like the heartbeat race and then die.
It didn't even need to be there, honestly, because it's true. They weren't taking questions, so what do you need a chat for?
I think
people might be asking that you're not going to acknowledge. Like, it's there, you know. They were not addressing anything.
Yeah, if you could have turned it off, I think it should have been best turned off. I mean, it should have been like, if you're going to turn it off, it should have been spoken about early, like beyond, like ahead of time, that we turn off our chats because we're here to present, and in regards to like questions and stuff like that, we'll answer it in a different manner, but.
Any business that's ever making any announcement would be wise, if they were announcing it in that type of form, to turn off the chat.
Yeah, because, well, the chat being open kind of, it provides you like this concept where it's like, I can discuss things with them and we're going to have a connection, but the connection is like immediately gone when you realize that they're not responding to anything, and you're just like, oh, well, I feel like, you know, I feel this is kind of one-sided. I'll like, oh, no, they're not even listening to me. Like, I think that brings about negative connotation, because it the only direct connection people can have with that is conversation. And if you were conversing and somebody's not even answering you back or responding to you or registering that you exist, you know, then that has its own already pre-built-in, feelings, right, about how someone should be hit.
That wasn't a Q&A session. They should... If you're not answering questions, you shouldn't be allowing people to ask them.
I think just turn it off.
Control the narrative of your press conference by silencing the other people in the room.
Yeah, exactly. It is. I think that would be a good move moving forward. But
companies nonetheless. Business should do that. No business should announce anything and allow the rabble to chatter in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, the bids are gone.
Yes.
The bids are gone. So,
they've become poison now.
I officially will take my beer and pour it over my laptop as I pour one out for Supernatural Kylo, as all of my friends have told me. But guess what? I'm still going to play him until they ban the card.
He's fine. Because
he's damn good.
Yeah, what's wrong? What's wrong with Supernatural Kylo? You still can maneuver in ways that no one else can. That alone is worth it.
Yeah. Now, I think this is a whammy on several different levels, because it's not only is it the bids are gone, and not only is it now that whatever bid that you don't take is now given to your opponent, which I do not like. Then on top of that, there is a turn order thing. Where legit you roll off, and now it again ambiguous. Even GSP expressed is in a few different posts I've seen. Is this going to be an alternating turn order, which seems the most fair, but also very protocol. Complex?
Like, yeah, another game they have functions on some sort of.
Well, I've played Marvel Crisis Protocol, and Marvel Crisis Protocol has a random start to whoever is going to go first, but then after that it doesn't work the same way as X-Wing as far as I can see, because after that it's whoever completed all of their moves will be the person who goes first. Like, whoever has all their moves completed first will be the person who will be the person who goes first next turn. So
yeah, it's a totally different game.
Exactly.
There's no advantage. Well, no, there's always advantage to going second. Even in Legion, it was the same thing.
You wanted to go first, but
you also wanted to go last.
Because if I have three characters, for example, and all my three characters trigger, and then my opponent has four characters, because I triggered all of my characters and all of my actions are done already, then I will have priority the following turn. And obviously there's pros and cons to that, but it's already built in your kind of list building in that game, where this is random. This is not the same.
I guess the real question is, will it, I mean, is it, at the start randomly one or the other, or is it randomly decided per turn?
Like, I feel good if it's randomly started. Like, let's say we roll off. Adam, you're first on the first turn. Then, during the end phase, we pass the priority token, or the initiative token, whatever you want to call it, the first player token, to me during the end phase. And then we know that my next turn, I'm first player, right? And
yeah, it's like a simple and we tempo pass, thing, right?
Exactly. Tempo, super, yeah. Super, super easy. I think that's super fair because then both players have agency. And, you know, whatever, you randomly have determined that somebody may have had one more extra round of agency. And I don't think that really changes the game in its entirety very much because you can just play into the idea that, okay, I'm not going to have agency this turn, so, you know, I wait. And then the next turn I can have agency, so then I will respond in this way. But obviously then that in turn, like, something's, like, I think that every system isn't perfect, and that's the problem. And so just as much as there's current issues with the current structure up until the end of this month, there's going to be obviously issues with this new structure. But, you know, we're here, we're going to try it out. It's just kind of still, we're not too sure exactly how it works yet, because how it was responded to or, like, conveyed wasn't really clear, in my opinion. Like,
no, it wasn't. I don't think it was us. I mean, I don't think it was a complete thought, because the thought is not complete.
Yeah.
They're not being vague because they didn't want to explain more. It's that it's not done.
Yeah, I think the worst of all of those ideas, I mean, those ideas I can live with, exist with, even though it hurts my poor aces, I think to some degree, but not really. It's just a different way of looking at it. The one I just don't like is, you know, if you're not building to 200, any points that you don't put in go to your opponent. So, hey, it's time to put delayed fuses on things that don't have bombs or mines. Woohoo! Because I don't want to give any points away.
Sure, right? I mean, I could counter with, okay, so you have 2 points left over at the end of the game, right? You could put the thing on, not concede points. You could not, whatever, right? Unless your plan is to take no damage that game, you could just say that the first ship that you score points on, you score these points. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What's really, like, what is conceding 2 points? It only matters if you somehow end up being within a 2-point difference of your opponent. So that's not a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's like edge case at best. How many matches have you had that have come down to a couple of points compared to how many you played?
Very, very rarely. The only
less
thing
than
I just
percent, right?
Like I just literally percent. Don't like what the board looks like if you're pushing upgrades onto lists to make them around 200.
Briefly talking with someone, they said this is an opportunity to see upgrades played that normally don't get played. So a good example is, like, I'm building a list with Soontir in it. I've got 2 points left over. Well, I could put an electronic baffle on Soontir now, right? Would I ever use it and give myself a damage? No way. But maybe I would find use. You know, like, it's a little, I don't want to say it's variety, because I don't think it's truly variety. Maybe it unnecessarily complicates the game, or maybe it adds some dimension to it that you never knew existed. I
just feel like I'm gonna have a bunch of cards at the side of each game that I'm just gonna be like, hey dude, just so you know, this is my garbage pile. This is literally just my cards that I brought that don't actually do anything in the game, and it, they're literally there just to build the 200. So here they are, just so you see, this one's on this ship, this one's on this ship, and now I'll put them back in the pile so it's not confusing.
So just as a, like, I've really been trying to figure this out in my mind, because I don't think anyone really understands what it means yet, including myself. So I took that same list that we played last time we played. It had 15 points of bid. And rebuilding the list with the consideration that I wanted to spend all the points and I didn't know that I would be second has really changed what some of these ships look like, at least in this iteration, in a way that is quite different that I normally would never engage with. So, like, I enjoy that.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see.
Maybe not later. I don't know.
A little, yeah, a little ambiguous. As long as it isn't, again, if you can fill out your lists with all upgrades that, you know, are considerate and they're outlandish, but at least they work with the ships and they could have a functionality, fantastic. As long as it's, I just don't want to see, you know, a bunch of ships with upgrades that don't apply at all, just because they, and it's going to happen, just because legit you couldn't fit anything else. But I mean, I haven't started building lists like that, so I just don't know how often that'll occur.
I think if you're looking at it from the perspective of my lists as they stand right now, how would they fill out, is maybe the just starting in the wrong place, because that's presuming that have you reconsidered whether or not you want those ships, and then what upgrades you now think are appropriate for those ships.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find that either the list, the base ships change, or the upgrades change. So a very quick thing that happened for me is Soon Tier lost Predator, which for me, Predator on Soon Tier, why wouldn't you, right?
Yeah.
What if you're not moving second and you want to stay alive? All of a sudden, Lone Wolf for Soon Tier is looking a lot more appealing.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point.
And a Lone Wolf Soon Tier is, you know, it automatically 3 points more. So then, you know, what comes after that? Oh, well, you know, Stealth Device. I'm trying to not get a hit, you know what I mean? Well, mm-hmm. And now I don't just get to be out, so now I'm in. You know, it just, so, you know, your Kylo Von Reg list is dead. Because
maybe
it's dead because you need to reconsider the list.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
they need
it's
to
not
reconsider.
That you
I've
can't
even
rebuild mm-hmm. the list almost identically, but I would say at the moment you need to go back to square one, and you might as well just forget it. Everything, I'll say right now though, everything below 5 is still the same game. It's 100% the same. It's just one different.
Yeah.
They took out the upgrade of the 04 aces in this game. The bid was an upgrade. That was a thing you decided, how many points do I want to spend on this upgrade to give my list. And
yeah.
It's always been there. It's been a constant through everything. It's gone now. And that's, you know, I mean, it's fundamentally changed the game in a way, but only in the way that one of the upgrades is gone.
Yeah. I'm still excited. I'm excited to see how it goes at the end of the month when we see everything written out, hopefully, clearly. And also, banned and restricted list coming?
Yeah.
Interesting?
Yeah, no, I think
necessary.
You just if there's going to be such thing as quick build and standardized, that alone would dictate the necessity of this. I'm quite sure the original threat based Vader would be an example of something that would be banned. And there's more. You know, there's more than one iteration in these quick builds. And some of them are just so broken, they need to be able to just nuke them.
Yeah, I think banned and restricted lists, even though I'll probably lose things like Supernatural. I know it's on the to be hit thing.
I don't know. I don't know, restricted, sure, banned, I'm not sure, because I'll say, like, your Supernatural Kylo, your 100-point Kylo, well, what if I brought a list of 4 pilot skill 5 ships? That's a thing that several factions can do. Yep. How do you feel about your Supernatural Kylo in that environment? Right? He's 100 points. I'm not saying you can't fly him, but boy, oh boy, would you need to be careful. Right?
Yeah.
Or you could just hemorrhage 50 points in a blink. So, you know, does it need to be gone forever? It's already, like, just taking away your ability to guarantee that you move after every ship that isn't a 6 already changes it.
Mm-hmm. I thought we already had restricted, but I guess this is a way to modify it beyond the pips, right?
Well, I think this is a way to, you know what I hope it is a way for them to bring out new pilots and retire old versions of those pilots. My thought is the way for them to monetize this game going forward that isn't selling models or bloating the game to a ridiculous degree is card packs. I was super happy to hear them talk about more card packs. Just sell me new cards and tell me to throw out the old ones.
Yep. Yeah, it's necessary for the longevity. Because right now we step into the same problem that of a lot of living card games have from FFG.
Magic.
That Magic isn't a living card game, but modern in Magic, like the one where you can play everything, is definitely a good example of it. Where, you know, if you just continue to add to the game, balancing and complexity just gets out of control. And it's super hard to approach as a newer player. And I think all of this really goes to push the new player friendly thing.
Yeah.
And we're getting points at the end of the month. So and more information about how this will look at the end of the month. So I'm excited. So let's
not
see.
Just points.
What else?
Not
yeah,
just
a whole
points.
New rule set.
Well, no, but like, they
and
said
chips?
Like a fundamental a holistic approach to rebalancing the entire game, as well as new rules. So
yes,
like,
I saw the chat. Some people were yelling X-Wing 3.0. And to be very fair, yeah.
And why not?
Mm-hmm. So we got
the thought of this is it. No, we could just keep adapting this game and making it better. Why couldn't we?
Yeah. So there's even more stuff coming. Let's see, what do we got here? So we got the Gauntlet Fighter, which is supposed to be gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm excited for a gigantic fighter. I hope it can fit so I can bring it around. And there are some remote, like, little Mandalorians that pop out of the thing, and they shoot, and if you fly over them, you get strain, or there's another one that does different things. That's cool.
The
cool design
cool.
space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. You do a little ambush with hiding behind some rocks or something, right?
Yeah, and they pop out, and then they're like, I get you.
Yeah.
Worlds and competitive organized play. Of course, nobody really, like, they're bringing some stuff to stores. They're not bringing premier level large person events just yet. They can't, as a you know, in the state of things how they are, you know, eventually down the line obviously they will, but just right now it's too hard to like promise something when the world is crazy right now. It's not even a good time of, yeah, it's a waste of time to put their efforts into it and their money into it when they could just be like, well, why don't we just continue to develop the game and put all of that extra effort into that right now? And because that's going, you know, if we have a great game going into these organized events, then that's all the better. More players, great game, yeah. Organized play, it benefits, essentially, right?
Yeah. We were talking about it earlier. I just wanted to revisit something real quick about the whole the bid thing in turn order.
Yeah.
So I actually heard this thing that within the company they said if a supernatural Jedi ever wins a major event, they were going to take away bidding and turn order. That's what I heard. If anyone ever does this, they're going to force our hand, and it'll be their fault that we have to take away the bid, and no more deciding turn order at the start of the game. Crazy.
Well, that's crazy, yeah. Who would have thought, eh? Who would have thought?
So the synopsis says this is your fault.
This is all right. Everyone can blame it on me. That's fine. I have broad shoulders. I'll take the weight of the entire X-Wing community for anyone who doesn't like where we've gone. It stings a little that the list that I just won Jedha with is now like up for some major tweaking. But I think every list is, so I can't feel too bad. But
well, no, I think every list that's four or below is doing the exact same thing they already did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bohan actually had an interesting thing to say, or was it Steven? I can't, but one of the two people mentioned to me saying, you know, the game is different, yes, but aces aren't necessarily gone, because as people stray away from aces and say, well, you know, this is just really difficult if I ever run up into another ace player and I, or they happen to have an ace, and you know, then the random turn order stuff, or you know, is that if you're already so good at playing aces, just keep playing aces, because you're already a tier above, and chances are that there are going to be even fewer ace players to really have anything to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, in chatting a little bit and in thinking about it a little bit, what does this really change? It changes the world for what I refer to as like the margins. And yes. It's really only changing the margins at 5 and kind of at 6.
Yeah, 5 is
outside of one
more,
other thing. So yeah. In 5, at the one end is your glass cannon, and at the other end is your chunky boy. I think the glass cannon has just gone down in value a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the chunky boy has actually gone up in value a little bit.
I agree. And maybe we'll see that in points.
Yeah, and then at 6s, same thing, but only with the other 6s, which is a very small world. So,
oh, totally, very
you know,
much
it's
so.
Just some crazy fundamental shift in your thing. I mean, I think it does change the archetype of I'm bringing all aces and they're all moving second. That's gone. So maybe it isn't all aces, or maybe mm-hmm. it isn't all aces that want to move second.
Yeah.
The only outside of all that, the one thing changes is when you get a particular list that is dominating, and then people start chopping up the list to gain bid on the other list. The easy example is the Nantex, right? How mm-hmm. many predators do I drop to get the bid? That was the game of the Nantex.
Yeah.
So that's just gone now. Now it would actually be what tech could I put on my Nantex list that would let me win despite the fact that I lost turn order.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
that might not
exist. I was actually thinking that Shattering Shot and Sensitive Controls Kylo has now got a major buff because there's no bid.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. System, system phase pre-positioning is really good.
Yeah. So moving on, Gauntlet Fighters Gigantic.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about using Sense on Kylo, but without the sensitive controls, not as powerful, but Sense and sensitive controls on Kylo has a place in the game now.
That's a very good point. That's a really, really good point. Actually, that's a really cool ship concept in the first place. Very, very good, actually.
It just never compares to just outbidding them and doing a double reposition.
Exactly, but it's a whole new world. Well, bring in Aladdin and the flying carpet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bring in Jasmine. We're about to sing it. It's a whole new world. Alternative Play Store kits. Aces High. Cool. Brings new players in. Droid Soccer?
Oh, hey, just to mention, though, Aces High. Great way to, like, get thrown into a gang. Oh, hey, we're all three players that played this game before. Come on over here, newbie. Stand on the side of the board. Oh, you turned that way? Oh, I'm right behind you now. You're dead. You know, like, Aces High is not that friendly.
No, it's not. It's not that friendly. But if it's, you got to think pre-build though. Pre-build aces.
Still, it doesn't matter. I think cooperative is much better for new players. But Aces High is quick and fun.
I 100% agree. Droid Soccer, interesting. It was definitely a new idea.
I've actually heard of A-Wing Soccer before.
Yeah.
So, like, the idea was that you, whatever speed maneuver you did through the object, you would hit the ball for that speed. This sounds like more like a shooting version. You shoot them, right? Yeah, because you've got, like, concussion blasters or something like that. So you must be like, I either shoot my enemy or I shoot the droid to try to get to scoring position. Yeah, something to do. I don't know.
I'll try it. It is my least exciting style of play that they have expressed or a change.
I'm gonna be honest, that sounds like more of a team thing, doesn't it? Like 3-on-3.
It totally does, and that will be really cool. That is a good way to spin it. Campaign, though. I am totally looking forward to campaign. X-Wing, I already do like little campaigns here and there with X-Wing. X-Wing is a great platform ready for campaign style. So bring it on.
Yeah. Can I, do you know how long has X-Wing existed?
Oh, maybe like 7-8 years
more
now,
than
maybe?
10, right? I think it's more than maybe. Isn't it 10 years now?
Is it 10 years? I don't know. This is important. X-Wing Ventures started when? Let's see here. August 17th, 2012.
Okay, yeah, that's later than.
Yeah, that it was released at Gen Con, nice. August 17, 2012. It features tactical ship-to-ship dogfighting between various types of starfighters set in the fictional Star Wars universe. Ooh, okay, sounds like a game I want to play.
9 years into the game. And they're like, maybe we should create a scenario of the trench run and put it in the game. I've actually had this conversation with someone. I'm not saying FFG was, you know, thank you very much for your game. What a waste of a Star Wars property to not introduce the trench run into the game.
I don't know how else to think that was verbatim.
What do you need to be like? What are you doing, guys? You haven't figured out that it's like this super iconic thing? Like, they just I could never fathom why they never even bothered to try to put out a trench run and fail. Like, it is the trench run from Star Wars. It's likely the reason that a portion of your people even play this game. And you couldn't put together a scenario once? I just find it wild. What is this thing if not... Star Wars competitive, lots of fun, yada yada. Still incredibly broken. This game is not chess. You want to play a real balanced competitive game? Go enjoy chess. Cool. Right?
Chess is a great game. Play chess.
This is a fun game. Narrative and theme is supposed to be strong, and you can't do the trench run? Come on,
boy. Yeah.
Come on, man. Come on, man. What you doing? I just can't believe that it took this long for someone to make an official trench run.
The trench run is just to try.
Like, we should be on our third version of the trench run by now.
We should be on Starkiller Base by now, and it should have already been Death Star 1 and 2.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Why not? Right? Like, it just blows my mind to just leave. Like, you want this... This game has struggled for a long time to grow outside of the competitive and just selling the models to people who want the models. And you can't make the trench run.
Yeah, no, it's so iconic. It feels so good. Like, I literally, like, I just, like, looked it up just to look at it for a second. And just, there's a feeling of seeing that in the movie, hearing it, the TIE fighters, the X-Wing pilots yelling back at each other, Vader pinning down ships. Every one of these movies. Like,
yeah. Yeah, all the stuff. Every one of these movies has a moment like that that you can do.
I agree. Rogue One, everyone running through the Scarif base ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like, every movie, we could go through a point in there where they could pull out something that would be iconic enough for you to know exactly where you were in those movies. If you were.
Yeah, there. Exactly. Huge ball missed.
Yeah, it just blows my mind.
And I think it'll be cool if it really... I would be even totally, like, I don't know. There's so many ways that they could go about it. It's kind of a waste to speculate too much. But this is not a surprise. This is their bread-esque butter. This is the style of thing they are really good at. And it's not a surprise that they would, right off the hop, want to start bringing this into the game in some way.
Yeah. And, I mean... It might be ultimately unfulfilling for, you know, and I'm one of these people that play this game for the competitive game, the 75-minute head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of that has to do with the absence of anything else.
I agree. I 100% agree. And so now, like, look at it. Yeah.
75-minute tournament games, they figured it out. We don't need to do anything else there. This is what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is it here, right? We got campaign-based games coming our way. We have Aces High store kits. We have Droid Soccer store kit. We have what else we got? We have a restructuring of the game, kicking out the bid. We're throwing in bans. We're throwing in restrictions. We're bringing new points at the end of the month to shake things up in probably a way that fits their narrative much better. If you don't use your whole 200 points, you figure it out. I don't completely like that, but how many players for the first time sit down and they fill out, you say, oh, build a list, it can go up to 200. What do? They build a list and it goes to 200, right? This is, you know, random player order. This is the push for X-Wing to bring in a new player for sure. right? The casual player, absolutely. And the more casual players or new players that you create, the more that you do have players cycling into the community that are long-lasting and end up being part of competitive play as well. This is a rebalancing of the entirety of the game to take away from only competitive, which is the 95% or 90% of the game right now, to even the playing field, and gives this game some actual longevity, because it was not going to survive on its legs that it was already standing on.
Such a tricky thing. When they,
yeah,
you know, when they re-release, like when they released 2.0 and they put out those boxes, and they had all these bases and all these cards, right, reprinted, put back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine just starting a game and being like, here you go, take this box, figure it out. Like, for like so many people, like, it just never gonna happen. Like, I play board games, and I still, like, I know I have to be in a certain mood to want to play a new board game, because yeah, I understand the required learning just to play a simple one game in a box. You know,
yep,
very simple.
Games are like a,
yeah,
yeah, they're like a two games minimum now,
yeah,
almost, to play some of these games.
And like, I don't even know how you would, like I said, a player who isn't already invested in learning the game, how would you even explain to a new player in the building process that the things they would like to consider?
Yeah. You know who you ask? You ask Atomic Mass Games. Because I think they did a great... If they did anything, they came in with confidence, and they have made, they've made their imprint on the game, and you know, yeah, that's it.
The word that keeps coming to mind is menacing flop.
they had a quite the menacing flop.
Yeah, no, they do. They really just like look at that. Oh my god. Sorry,
what is this? what is this? Puny chat? I pay no attention to puny chat. You listen to my words.
Like,
fantastic.
Hold on, nerds, I'm about to blow your mind.
So,
yeah.
Finishing, final thoughts. What are your final thoughts?
Definitely big ships. I look forward to seeing their completed rules. I hope they are wise enough to lean in, which it sounds like they already have several times, lean into the community, ask people who know what they're talking about, and that's nothing, their opinion on the things that you're doing, to get some quality work done on this game.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. I am open to the change. I am excited to try new things and experience, because I was for the longest time waiting for Atomic Mass Games to actually bring themselves into this game and make and put their imprint in this game, and I was hoping that we didn't have to wait for their own ships to release for that to happen. I'm happy this happened like this. Am I excited about everything? No, and I was already pretty verbal about some of the stuff I didn't like, but you know, it speaks volumes how they did it, and looking forward to it.
So you wish this into existence, so I think it's official. This is your fault. Anybody wants to blame anybody, they're welcome to contact you on Discord, phone your personal phone,
show up at 905-213. Yeah, yeah.
And just tell you to your face what they think, right? Don't mince
those
words. Uncensored opinions. Just,
yeah, that damn Canadian. Bring Supernatural Kylo and then this. We unforgivable. Either way, you have been listening to the Natties Podcast. This has been Adam Brewer. This has been Andrew D. And thank you very much for joining us. Keep your ships on the mat and just roll natties.